Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's also go here. Thabo Bester has filed a legal challenge against what he calls inhumane detention conditions. That's at Khosi Mamburu Correctional Services. I've got Advocate Mudidima Amanya is a legal analyst on the line with us to help us understand what rights Thabo Bester has. Advocate, thanks for your time. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pimelo. I'm driving. I hope there won't be trouble.
As long as you are on a hands-free kit and we can hear you well, we're all good to go. Thank you so much, Advocate. Thabo Bester has filed this application and is saying essentially that, you know, he's been treated unfairly, quotes Section 35. Just your sense of how successful this bid is likely to be.
Yes, but I haven't seen his application and the specific allegations he makes. But I have seen his statements where he raises a number of issues. Mm-hmm. One of the realities of incarceration is that some of your rights become limited, you know. That's number one. Number two, he is appearing in court, and if I recall, he has been raising his concerns in court.
Yes.
And I think that if the concerns were of such a serious nature, they would have attracted the attention of the presiding judge, who would have, intervened in terms of what should happen. The reality of Mr. Bester and people in his situation is that they are in a high security prison section.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason why certain prisoners are put there.
Mm.
Now, if he's put there, there are major restrictions there.
Mm.
And it's because he's regarded as a security risk, as a possible flight risk or whatever the case may be.
Mm.
So he will be subjected to major restrictions, unlike somebody who's in a medium B prison at Leocop, for instance, you know. So, but you can't go to prison and say, I want to eat this, I want to sleep at this time. It doesn't work that way. Your liberty has been taken away, and there's a limitation to the rights that you have.
So, as you said, you know, this is obviously a high security facility, CMAX. He is speaking of 23 hours of no exercise, of solitary confinement. And he speaks of the fact that, look, if he wins, this is not just for him, it's for other inmates. You specifically mentioned the fact that, of course, some of his rights are limited. They have to be limited because he's in a prison. Is the 23-hour sort of something that is... I mean, this is a CMAX, so I'm not sure what exactly the rules are. But is this sort of within the law?
Yes. CMAX and these high security prisons have been there for a long time. There's one in Kokstad, there's one called Kutamas in Rumule in Limpopo. And these prisons are meant specifically for categories of prisoners.
Mm.
And they are established in terms of law. You know, and I understand and appreciate that 23 hours is a very long time, but you must bear in mind that the state doesn't have unlimited resources to be watching on people who may be posing a risk in the prison and outside.
Mm.
One of the and just to say to you, Pimelo, not long ago, I think one of the members of the Buremach approached the courts and said he wanted to be released on parole because him and his partner have now done artificial insemination, a child is to be born.
Mm.
And the judge said to him, look, man, you are in prison, you are a convicted prisoner, convicted, just chill, you know. And I think that is more or less what Mr. Bester is likely to get. If he was saying to the court, I'm being assaulted, I'm being deprived of sleep, I'm being deprived of food, he would certainly have a case. But I mean, I know that one of his complaints, and I'm speaking as a lawyer here, is that he says that there's some interference with his consultation.
Yes,
you know?
He speaks of limited access to a legal consultation.
Yeah, but you know, convicted or prisoners or people who are in prison don't have unlimited access to anybody. You know, I mean, if I were to want to consult with a client who's in prison, we do what we call a requisition. You actually request that person to be availed for consultation.
Okay.
So it's not like Pimino calls me and say, look, something happened yesterday, I want to see you.
I'm tomorrow. Coming. And, I'm coming now.
I'm coming. It doesn't work. And not say, as the practitioner, I cannot say my rights to practice are being limited or violated because of the type of situation I'm dealing with.
Are there grounds for him to complain about his mental state? He speaks of psychologically being affected by this. His well-being is, you know, we need to consider his well-being. He will have anxiety. He'll have depression and the like. Is this something to seriously consider? Does he have grounds for that?
Dr. Mello, I want somebody who's not in prison to tell me that they never suffer anxiety or some form of depression. You know, obviously, you know, because I think we must be very careful about what these rights mean. You know, people seem to think that all these rights are absolute and you can just demand this. Yes, you have a right not to have to be subjected to mental torture, but what is mental torture? You know, being in prison doesn't constitute mental torture. Obviously, when you are in prison, you are anxious, you want to be out, you are uncomfortable, you know. I mean, as a starting point, and I can share this with you, Pamela, many years ago, I worked at the Human Rights Commission, and we were doing an investigation, and we went to a prison in Clarkston, you know. And for about 4 or 5 months, I wouldn't want to even look at a prison. I came out of there completely disrupted, and I just... And I just imagine the guys that stay there, some of them are very long-term prisoners, you know. So I'm saying it's a reality that he will be anxious. But I think what he should be saying is that as a result of my anxiety, I'm not getting psychological support or anything of the sort, which I think the prison does provide because they have got some medical facility there. But a prison is not a place where you're going to be comfortable. That's really not the purpose of a prison.
So obviously, I mean, he's appointed new legal team. They decided to advise him to go ahead with this application. I mean, on what grounds do you think they were hoping for success, just based on everything that you've just given us?
Well, look, as lawyers, we don't really win cases. And I get concerned when people think the job of a lawyer is to win a case. The job of a lawyer is to argue a case. The decision will be made by the judge. I may form a view preliminarily that there is merit in the case. It does not necessarily mean there's merit, and it doesn't mean I'm misleading anybody. But we also, what we call the creature of instructions, we act on client's instructions.
Yes.
So sometimes you do advise a client, Demero, this I don't think will fly, and Demero say, I want it.
But the instruction, you know, remains, right?
That the instruction remain, and unless it's an unlawful instruction, generally we would execute the instruction. Whether we succeed or not is something else.
Just from where you're standing, and of course, I mean, I fully take the fact that you haven't looked at the papers and you haven't looked at the submissions, but, you know, do you think there's ground to this case, to this particular application? Do you think he's going to get somewhere, and how far can he take it?
Look, I think I wouldn't want to completely say he doesn't have a case, you know. I think we should not, of course, exclude the possibility of possible abuses in prison. I think the inspectorate for prisons has repeatedly raised his concerns about some of the conduct of prison officials. We know, as a matter of fact, that there's a lot of corruption in prison. In fact, you sometimes think people who are in prison are more criminal than those that are, have not yet been arrested. So there are possibilities of a form of victimization. But you must remember, Mr. Bell is a bit of a this is the guy who left that prison in Bloemfontein. This is the guy who left the country. This is the guy that has played gig and told people while he's in prison that he was talking from the United States. Any prison official would be very sensitive when you deal with him. You wouldn't want to make a mistake. I mean, if he escapes again under your watch, you're going to lose your job, you know. So it's not a very, very easy. So I'm saying whilst we must not think that he may be having a good case, but we must not credit the possibility that there might be some form of abuses, which occur in our prisons. That's documented. It's a matter of public records.
And so how far can he take this? You know, if he's adamant that he does want this, and it does seem like he's got the money to do it, how far can he take this?
You know, in this country, Pimero, we are so free, eh? Mm. You can go up to the Constitutional Court. Mm. Whether you succeed is another matter.
Yeah.
You know, so he wants to go. But I must indicate that the prison services itself has got some internal processes to deal with some of these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I do not necessarily think that the prison officials would gamble to simply totally disregard any concerns that he raises, you know. I don't necessarily think they will do that.
Let us say he succeeds. This has massive, in my view, this has massive implications for the entire system. As you said, you know, there are limited resources. In as much as everybody understands the rights of each inmate, there still are limited resources. So a ruling in his favor may shake up quite a bit of the system.
No, certainly it would have a major impact, but the government will have to adapt and adjust.
Mm.
I mean, if you recall a few years ago, there was an issue about the provision of antiretroviral to pregnant mothers.
Mm.
The argument of the government was that we don't have the resources we can afford.
Mm.
And the Constitutional Court came up to say, we hear you, we understand you, but please make a plan, provide as much as you can. So it may as well be that if the court finds that the conditions are not conducive and are not compliant with the Constitution, it may order the government to comply, and the government will have to comply. They will have to find the resources.
I mean,
it may as well may not be that there might not be drastic changes that are required.
Yes.
I mean, if for instance, somebody says for 23 hours, I'm in solitary confinement, that could easily be worked out to
20 hours, maybe. Yeah.
20 hours or so. I believe I have not been to CMEX, but there must be a courtyard. And I think these people are allowed into the courtyard for an hour.
Mm.
You know, but look, the issue of solitary confinement is actually not solitary confinement in the context of a prisoner. It is, they have what they call single cells. You know, for instance, if a prisoner is at risk of being attacked by other prisoners, they would put him in a single cell. If somebody's got a medical condition that needs special attention, they will do so. So there are a host of thousands and thousands of prisoners in single cells. So not actually solitary confinement. It's not in solitary confinement. It's in a single cell.
This is what he's calling it. He's calling it solitary confinement. But as you are saying, you know, you can use all kinds of language to advance your argument.
Yeah, but, you know, he must not provoke activists who are subjected to solitary confinement.
Absolutely.
During our struggle and play with this concept.
Absolutely.
He's in a single cell.
Advocate Manya, please, can you just maybe take a listen to a caller we've got who has a question for you? Good evening and welcome, Sunny Boy. Hi. Sunny boy?
Can you hear me, Pamela?
Now I can hear you. Welcome. Thank you so much for calling.
Okay. I'm saying good evening to you and your guest. And I hear him talking about this, saying a lawyer won't win the case. Meaning if I'm in trouble, and then they say he's the best lawyer in the country, can take on the justice system, even if somehow it's wrong, because my understanding, there are sometimes some loopholes where you can win the case. When he said no, they just following instructions. If I tell him no, this is I'm not going to take. So what's the use of having a lawyer in this situation? If this is what he's saying, meaning I can just go and appoint myself and defend myself. If I lose the case, I lose the case, and I know what's the use of popping out money. And then where else that money I thought is going to work for me. So there are different cases whereby, yes, you can see that you don't stand a chance. Even myself, I can take those chances and say, you know what, this case I'm not going to win it, but maybe getting a lawyer, maybe he's got another better opinion than mine.
Yeah, but I mean, you remember what he said, Sunny Boy. The point he's making is that he doesn't make the call. At the end of the day, he doesn't decide whether this case is going to win. He just goes to argue on your behalf. And if you insist, yeah, but, you know, what is he going to do? Advocate?
No. Yes, I think what people must understand is that we are not just lawyers in the simple sense. We are officers of the court. We are part of the administration of justice.
Mm.
It is our responsibility to assist the courts to reach fair and just resolution of disputes. You know, now there's no law that says you must be represented by a legal practitioner. You can go to court on your own. The reality, though, is that there are very complex issues that you need somebody who's properly trained. You know, I can give you an example, Pimelo.
Yes.
If you go to the labor court, and I'm always intrigued by this, there's a union called National Union of Mine Workers.
Mm.
They seldom use lawyers. They use their shop stewards who are, of course, trained, you know.
Yes.
And don't think that because they are shop stewards, they'll give you a run for your money in court, as if you're dealing with a
legal
very
person,
highly trained lawyer.
Yeah.
So I think that is the context. There's no law that says you can't represent yourself, but at the same time, there are quite intricate processes which we are trained to handle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that is really the point I'm making. But as I say, the emphasis is that it is the client that ultimately makes the call.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily have the liberty, generally, to reject instructions. I can only reject instructions if I feel that I'm not suitably qualified to handle a matter of this nature. But generally, we are required as part of access to justice and as part of our oath of office, because people don't realize we take an oath of office to uphold the law and to assist in the administration of justice.
Advocate Mudidima Manya, thank you so much for your take on all of this. Thank you very much also, Sunny Boy, for your call. I want to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to speak about that IPED Act that has been amended. What does that all mean for the police?
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.